Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Nation Building Radio with your host, Sister Gidget Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Vernon. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam. I'm feeling good like a winner should. How about yourself, my sister?
I am blessed by Allah's grace, and I thank you so much for jumping in and substituting for Caesar. He's having technical difficulties right now. We missed him tonight, but the show must go on. So we are thankful for you, Brother Vernon, for being available and being so willing to help us out. So much love to you and really appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. We have Brother Jihad Hassan Muhammad. As you know, we do have a Brother Jihad that hosts the Out on the Front Line with the Fruit of Islam show, but this one, this is my beloved brother coming from My 48 in Dallas, Texas. So let me extend the greetings to him first. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Jihad.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you, my sister?
I am blessed by Allah's grace, and I am honored to have you on the show. I have long admired your success on How to Eat to Live, and I've, you know, watched your post over the last few months, and I've seen your before and after photos, and I'm inspired by your success. And so we want to talk about the health of – I'm sorry?
I said, praise be to Allah, my sister. I appreciate
you. Okay. Yes, sir. And we want to talk about the health of the black man, you know, the state of the health of the black man in America, because we know that, you know, this year alone, we've lost some very beloved and dear brothers to us. And it really kind of made me look back on, you know, some of the causes of their, you know, transition. And we're kind of looking at the status of the health of the black man in America overall and the contributing factors. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And I just want to remind the callers who are listening, if you have a question and you're online, please enter that question into our chat room. Brother Vernon will make me aware and read me your question. And, of course, Brother Jihad and I will try to accommodate you. If you are listening by phone and you have a question, please call in to 646-716-5971 and press 1 on your keypad so that Brother Vernon can see that you have a question. So we're going to go ahead and get started. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger. We thank Allah for raising up the Honorable Elijah Muhammad from amongst us, and we thank him for his divine reminder in our beloved minister, Louis Farrakhan. I greet you all in the nation's greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Okay. Brother Jihad, born in St. Louis, Missouri, influenced by hip-hop, and joined the nation at the tender age of 16. And you are the co-founder of Dynasty Hip Hop Incorporated Mentoring Program. So, Brother Jihad, how did all of that come about? What at 16 made you adhere to the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and decide to be a soldier in Muhammad's army?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. First, I'd like to say I really appreciate your time, and I am humbled for the opportunity to even be asked to contribute some of whatever Allah has put on my heart and in my sojourn here in Islam, as taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, my sister. And basically, at the tender age of 16, if you will, we can go back to the early 90s. Well, I guess late 80s, early 90s, which was hip-hop and the influence of hip-hop in his consciousness, from every coast, mostly from the East Coast, but, you know, from the West Coast as well, and me being a teenager, listening to hip-hop and annoying my mother with the loud music, if you will, that it would lead me to a man named Farrakhan, which ultimately is, where I was led to and where, at that point in time, I began to study, you know, who he was and listen to the tapes and whatnot, and I found myself making that great decision to join the Nation of Islam at 16.
Yes, sir. So tell us about Dynasty Hip Hop Incorporated Mentoring Program. What is that about?
Well, basically, in an extension to perhaps reach youth the way that I was reached, we see a very major lull in hip hop right now, and that's not to negate any of the talent or any of any of what we see, you know, coming from the Lil Wayne's or the Drake's or the Meek Mill's or the Rick Ross's or any of the new people or any of hip hop's mainstream artists right now. But the lull is basically that, you know, consciousness has been removed, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has talked about. It has been a conscious effort, if I might use that word again, to remove consciousness and reality from hip-hop into more of a sex-induced, gangster, murderous-induced, mutated form of rap music of what we have right now. So Dynasty is an effort that was formed by myself and Brother James W. Muhammad in St. Louis, and basically we were both of the same cloth brothers who were influenced by hip-hop, and so we thought that we would use hip-hop to influence today's youth that are at risk and losing their lives massively in these streets. So that was the gist of it, and we began to give them free studio time and into the industry, as we continue to do now with Allah's permission, and mentor them, if you will, on all aspects of their life. So.
Wow, that is a wonderful duty that you're keeping to our young people, and all praise is due to Allah, and may Allah continue to bless you in your endeavors. And I see you interview artists like Bun B and Rick Ross, and I had the opportunity and the honor to interview Rick Ross briefly on DJ Caesar's show, and a very interesting brother, very down-to-earth brother, and I think he's really trying to come back and make a difference. So I really enjoyed talking with him. Okay, we're going to get off into the meat of our subject. Like I had mentioned before, you know, we've lost a lot of dear beloved believers, and, you know, we're looking at our black men, and the reason why I'm focusing on black men and not just black people in you know, in general, is because I found that our men are most neglectful when it comes to their health. And, you know, it's just a macho thing, you know, I'm fine, I need some sleep, I need a hot bath, I need something to eat or whatever. And they never, ever really focus on their health as closely as women do. And the first thing, Brother Jihad, I want to talk on is how we actually got to this point. And so I, in my research, I went through the process of searching about the history of soul food. And, you know, I guess I never, you know, I never had a reason to search before. Didn't even think I was going to find anything. But I learned that in slavery, slaves were given the worst diet, or had the worst diet. They were given the worst cuts of meat. They pretty much struggled for vegetables and fruits because, of course, the slave masters wanted to consume the masses of those products. And I even read an article in African American history that said that Africans used to have to hoard fruits and vegetables underneath the floorboards and in the cracks of their slave quarters, just to sometimes have a meal, and that most of their meals would consist of stuff like grits and the worst part of meats and stuff of that nature. And so what has happened throughout our history is that upon being set free, so to speak, if there's such a thing, those things just kind of became traditional with black people, you know, eating some of these things, chitterlings, which are hog intestines. And I'm not trying to be funny, but some of this stuff is really making me sick. You know, fat back. And I had to look up what some of these words, and hog, moth, and ham, hocks, and possum,
right,
and coon, and rabbit, and duck, and catfish. And, you know, and when you grow up Muslim, you know, it's wow. All I can say is wow. Mm. And then I found out that later on, as times may have gotten better for black people, they did eat what they considered the best parts of the meat. So here comes the ribs and the pork chops and all of that. And so, Brother Jihad, just tell me, you know, how do we begin to break away from that cycle? Because a lot of people, you know, they really enjoy their food.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I think the most important part about it is with knowledge. Knowledge is power. And, you know, we are taught in Hosea 4:6 in the Bible that our people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So that is where we're at right now. We're in a massive lull for knowledge and a lack of knowledge. So, you know, it's massively important that we spread how to eat to live as taught to us by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and all the that comes with it. That is really the take home message of the hour. As you said, these are things that we have been eating since, you know, our sojourn here in America, you know, brought here as slaves, and as they broke us, if you will, you know, they begin to you know, give us these things as food. And now, since, you know, the black man and woman are creative with their God and activity of being the gods that we are, if you will, we have learned how to take the worst things and make it into something that, you know, most people would consider very tasty, you know, delicatessens, if you will, you know, some chitterlings and, the different parts of the pig and different aspects, the cornbread, you know, that's really not fit for us to eat, and different things, you know, the yams with the strings in them and things of that nature. So, you know, most people would say, well, but it tastes so good. I think what is important is the knowledge, you know, what we have been blessed to do on the How to Eat to Live Facebook, in the How to Eat to Live Facebook group, you know, it spread a lot of knowledge with Allah's permission from what he has given the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and what we have gained under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So when our people, you know, they begin to think of some hogs, you know, then, you know, we can hit them with, you know, the different aspects of the trichni and trichinosis and what it really looks like, you know, and as gross as it is, we have to see it, you know. We have to see, you know, the reality of the things that we are eating and predicament and that it gets us in, you know, no matter how gruesome it looks, you know, because this is a reality.
Yes, sir. And, you know, I was, like I said, I was researching. And I had no idea, well, I had some idea, but I had no idea of how the pig meat in particular really affected us. And, you know, it was funny in a way, and then again, when you think about it, it was sad because, you know, that saying, you are what you eat, I don't think I realized how true that was before today. And as I looked, as I reread How to Eat to Live, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad stated that eating the pork will make you take on characteristics of what you've eaten. Also, the eating of pork will destroy the natural beauty of the black man and woman. And so, you know, I was like, really? You know? And, you know, it was just crazy. But as I think about it, he said that it would destroy your natural beautiful appearance, and it takes away your shyness. And so, really, when they say you are what you eat, it has an effect on the mind and how you think and how you feel and how you conduct yourself. And have you borne witness to that, Brother Jihad?
Yes, ma'am, definitely. If we can go just in lieu of what you were saying from the aspect of bondage and slavery, on page 113 of How to Eat to Live, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad goes into it in book two that the pork or pig all its parts and byproducts have been a chief food for the so-called Negro, American Negro, since the days of his physical bondage. The pig was not made for human consumption. The pig is the chief cause of the ills and mental deficiencies occurring among the so-called American Negro and any other people who eat it. So the pig is the chief cause of many ills and mental deficiencies, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has said, occurring among the so-called American Negro and any other people who eat it. So it's just that simple, and you know, that's what we are finding today amongst, as you say, the beauty appearance amongst us and anybody who partake of it. If that's what we are seeing, us being the people who have the worst health in America, you know, as far as heart disease, we are number one. You know, you know, there's so many diseases, stroke and hypertension and, you know, all of these diseases which can be linked back to the swine and just bad health in general. We are number one, you know. Our women, the black woman is, you know, the obesity rate is 80% amongst black women. But, you know, and particularly amongst the men as well, as we're talking tonight as well. You know, it's just, we are in a state of emergency, you know, so.
Yes, sir, and I don't think that the general public, and I'm talking about black public in particular, are not very aware of the danger of eating this flesh of the pig. And the reason why I say that is because what I have found through some studies from the African diet is that the chemicals that they are already adding to this foul beast called the pig increases the chances of cancer, particularly in men. So now when we look at the increase of pancreatic cancer and prostate cancer in black men, we have to go back and trace this to diet. And as we trace it to diet, we also have to trace the chemical mixtures that they are using as steroids or growth enhancement products or flavoring products in these processed foods that are actually killing black men in particular. Did someone come on the line? Did someone come on the line?
No, ma'am. Nobody on the line. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought I heard somebody say something. So, we are in a state of emergency, Brother Jahan, and you know, I wanted to do this show to make black men, in particularly, aware that it's something going on here. With the increase of heart disease, diabetes, pancreatic and prostate cancer in men, associated with diet, has increased 73% in the last 10 years. And what do
yes,
you
ma'am.
Say about that?
Well, I think it goes back to, you know, everything that we're discussing right now. Everything that we're discussing deals with, you know, our health and the diet and just really returning. We have to understand, and I think it's up to us to widespreadly get our people to understand that, you know, there is a solution, you know, and the solution is in Hadith to Live, as taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so it has to be, you know, got to, you know, brought to them and marketed to them and promoted to them and you know, so that we can understand what the situation is. The poisons, as you are saying, and everything that you're talking about is so necessary because, you know, everything that we eat has some poison in it. So the most oft-returned aspect of Hadith to Live that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us is to get us to eat one meal a day, one meal every 24 hours, to extinguish what poisons are in the food, and of course the whole regimen or science of Hadith to Live. But it starts, you know, right there to get us to that point. So right now we are in a rush against time, if you will, to show our people and get this message to them and you know, so that they will begin to change and we will begin to change, you know, and calling us all back as a reminder to Hadith to Live, because, you know, some of us, you know, we all have to be reminded, you know, with the foods and the things that we are partaking of out here.
Yes, sir. And, you know, and Brother Jahan, I'm going to take a minute right now. First of all, I'm going to ask if there are any questions. And if they're not, I'm going to run down a list of foods in particularly that I can't call his name. I'm so sorry. He's an African doctor who practiced herbal health, and he had a list of foods that have been chemically altered here in America that black people in particular consume. But before I read off that list, I want to check with Brother Vernon to see if there are any questions in the chat room or on the line.
No questions. It looks like we have a few callers on the line, but nobody's raised their hand yet.
Okay. All right. So, Brother Jahan, I want you to tell me about these foods. Wow. Okay. Cracklings, fat back, hog maws, ham hocks, hog head cheese, pigs and pig feet, ribs, pork chops, hams, and I can't read my own writing. But okay, that's enough. What's going on with these foods in particularly? And the reason why I'm asking that question is because when it comes to farming now, at one time I believe that, you know, animals were given natural diets. They were eating grass, they were eating corn, they were eating whatever farm animals eat. That was a natural product at one time. And now even in the hog, even though it's already poisonous by itself, the chemical enhancements that are being fed to these animals. However, the public in general, white or black or Hispanic or whatever, when you buy meat at a store, those ingredients are not packaged on meat because they want you to think that you're buying a raw product. And so I want to know how you feel about the FDA not really providing the information of what these animals are fed. And this is not just for pigs. I mean, cows and lambs and even some farm fish are not being fed natural foods. And so, you know, how can we curtail some of the behaviors that we've become so accustomed to so that we can buy wholesome, healthy foods and stop, you know, becoming victim of this, you know, this national grocery market that's killing us?
Yes, ma'am. I think it's a very important question. To get to the root of it, our Minister of Health has told us that, Brother Dr. Aileen Muhammad, that ultimately we will have to, and then this, you know, has to become immediate at some point. We are going to have to grow our own food. We're going to have to be the, you know, the controllers of our destiny in regards to our own food. That's ultimately the solution. In lieu of that, of course, we cannot say, until that happens, we still have to eat, you know. And I think that's why the guidance in How to Eat to Live from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, from God himself, the only diet from God himself, you know, is so important. You know, many other people with diets and programs and things like that, but, I mean, this is the only diet that has come from God and that has been taught to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I think that aspect is so important until we have galvanized and started getting our own food and mobilizing our own food. Of course, we understand that they are putting whatever they want in the food at this point. You know, there are different posts that, you know, can be found within the How to Eat to Live Facebook page group that we talk about in regards to the different things, the meat glue. The meat, you know, most chicken is, you know, having pork, you know, pork is in it as well at this point in time, you know, a large percentage, maybe in the percentages of 73%, you know, from the information that is out there. So it is imperative that we go back to this. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught us that no meat is good for us. And even within the meat glues that they are using to piece different meats together, even within fish, to make a whole, you know, piece of fish, if you will, you know, at the market, and we are none the wiser. And, you know, the glue and the different ways that they piece together, get out pork in it and different things, this is an actual fact, and the FDA is familiar with it, and it continues to make us victims. But the reality is, to go deeper into your question, is a lot of us suffer from a food addiction on the basis of the chemicals that we have in the food. So, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is telling us that, and constantly reminding us to go back to How to Eat to Live, that it is imperative at this moment of time. The book is so potent And I would even go so far to say even more potent right now that we go back to it than it was in the 60s and 70s, things of that nature, because of the, you know, the enormous amounts of poisons and things that they are doing. As you talked about the wholesomeness of some of the farm animals that in the 60s or in different times were, you know, throughout history, that they were given, you know, wholesome foods. That, for the most part, no longer exists. So without us eating one meal a day, one meal every 24 hours, exactly the way that we have been taught to eliminate these poisons and toxins, you know, and fasting 72 hours, you know, once a month to continue to eliminate the bloods and the toxins in our blood, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Eating this way, I mean, we really do not have a chance. Recently, the Most Honorable, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan talked about, you know, the bean soup and the navy bean and how it is imperative in dealing with radiations and things of that nature. This book is the book of the hour. So, I mean, that's pretty much, you know, where I'm at with it, you know, in regards to that question, and I think that it's a valuable question. We have
yes,
a solution.
Sir. And you know, really, Brother Jahan, even though we are Muslim, we have so many family members and even some of our close friends.
That's right.
Who are still, you know, they don't necessarily believe what we believe, but this is a universal problem.
That's right.
That, you know, that affects everyone. And so for those of you who are listening who may not be Muslim, who may be Christian or any other religion, this is not directly geared just towards Muslims. This is for the benefit and the health of all people who are really striving to live and be healthy. Diabetes, congestive heart failure, rheumatism, cancer, all of these things are mostly, are primarily caused by what we eat. And, you know, the reason why I want to stay on the FDA is because I want people to understand something, that when you are spending your money, you have a right to know what you're spending your money on. And there's a sister in California. Her name is Cheryl Shaw. She is starting a campaign to have ingredients listed on meat. As like I mentioned before, and when you go to the grocery store and you buy packaged meat, it doesn't list the ingredients, but you should be able to have a choice of what type of meat that you choose to buy, if you choose to buy meat. Hopefully you don't, but if you do, okay, you know, at least have a choice of the ingredients. Also, I found in a study not too long ago that some of these companies, and I'm going to call them out, Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig and Mrs. Chandler's and Healthy Choice, they sell diet foods. And so people are going to the grocery store thinking they're cutting back on calories, thinking they're cutting back on sugars and sodium. But what I found is that it is cheaper for them to put an alternate seasoning along with what the original season is to make you think that you're tasting less sugar, less salt in foods. However, it will cost them more money to prepare two or three different kinds. Like they have meals that are just geared for diabetics, and then they have meals that are diet food, and then they have just regular meals. Well, they're not preparing three different meals. They're using three different alternative flavorings to make you think that you're receiving less sodium and less sugar, but at the end of the day, they're all the same. So they're not extracting anything. And so when we talk about buying diet foods and things of that nature, we are really, really fooling ourselves. And one thing that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, how to eat to live in book one, is that we have to learn how to prepare our own food. But now we're at that point where not only do we have to prepare our own food, but we almost have to grow our own food because of the pesticides and things of that nature. And so, Brother Jahar, if one wanted to start just growing their own food, what should they start with?
The question of growing your own food, I think the reality of it is just the basics, you know, and growing your own food, whether you go to a Whole Foods or, you know, or health food store and get the seeds to grow different things, or, you know, and start, you know, on that wise. I, for one, am not a person who is very skilled in that standpoint, so I wouldn't be the person that can really delve into that imperatively and really give, you know, a person the best route to go in doing so. I think that needs to be a part two to this conversation in lieu of that, and we definitely need to have that conversation. The reality is, as you said, though, my sister, that the masses of our people, you know, and as we think about them and not just us, a great point that you made, those who are not Muslim and those, you know, who might be listening to the call, you know, a mass majority of us are not growing our own food. So we have to figure out or get this solution to them so that they can begin to prolong their lives and get to that point of growing, you know, their own foods and dealing with it organically and things of that nature. We have been blessed to be in a nation that, you know, we have a Ministry of Agriculture that can, you know, delve into that and really deal with the science of that. And so that is definitely a blessing. Right now, as you said, though, the masses of our people need to get the solution. And one thing that you just mentioned that was potent as well, the Jenny Craigs and the different diet, Slim Fast or whatever it is that, you know, our people are looking to, you know, they look to these things because they see what they think are results. And so, you know, ultimately, with Allah's permission, when I began my journey, I started to see results on the basis of following what God has taught the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So I began to start marketing it as a result, because it is a result. But the bigger and more important factor with the result of not just the weight loss is that you're going to be healthy. None of the diets that, you know, quote unquote diet plans or programs that we talk about, the Jenny Craigs, the Slim Fast, you know, all of those different things, you know, even a lot of the, I mean, right now the weight loss industry is a $1 billion industry because America is the most obese that it has ever been. So people are looking for solutions right now. But in any of those, you know, you'll see a commercial all the time. People, you know, they might have a gastric bypass. They might have this or that. You know, people are looking for solutions, and they are paying for a solution. Well, this solution is $5 and how to eat to live by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so it's about just marketing it to them, you know, in a way that they can understand and dealing with the reality of it, the solution. You know, when people see the weight loss, they see a solution. And that's just, you know, the atopical part about it, if you will. But what's going on in the inside is better health, prolonged life. Jenny Craig cannot tell you that your life is going to be prolonged, you know, Slim Fast or the gastric bypass or whatever doctor that, you know, is given these surgeries cannot say that your life is going to be prolonged. I can show you how to live 140 years. I can show you how to live 240 years. None of them can do that, you know. So in this book, How to Eat to Live, from God himself to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, this is what we have.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, we're going to talk about the game in a minute. So, Brother Brian, I'm going to check with you one more time. Are there any questions, any comments?
Yes, indeed. We have a couple of people on the line who are waiting to join the conversation. Callers, your mics are open. Caller from 507, area code 507. Your mic is open.
Are you there, caller? Okay, I don't hear anything. Brother Vernon?
I'm sorry, I hit the mute button. I was talking and I was on mute myself. There's a caller who's from 507, and apparently they must still be on mute, but we also have another caller, an anonymous caller, must be calling in from Skype.
Okay, they have a question or comment?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay. Can you identify yourself, caller?
Yes, ma'am. This is Chaka Muhammad.
I'm sorry. What's your name?
This is Sister Chaka Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum
salam. How are you?
I'm doing fine by Allah's grace and mercy. I just wanted to call in real quick to add in a little information on what you all were discussing. As we all know, we can't get everybody to read the How to Eat to Live books. But what I discovered the other night, if anybody has Netflix, you can go on there and look up a documentary called Forks Over Knives. And I've been, like, campaigning that documentary for the past couple of days because it really opened up my eyes to exactly what happens to your body when you consume processed food and just meat in general, because for the most part, we all know that swine is no good, but at the same time, even as believers, chicken, beef, turkey, all of that is no good for the human body either. And I posted on my Facebook page a lecture from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and he's talking about, you know, that we have to wean ourselves off meat, period, and become vegetarian. And, you know, what I find is that a lot of people give resistance when that discussion is brought up and, you know, they keep saying, well, my willpower, I'm not ready to give it up. But actually, when you look at the How to Eat to Live book, Honorable Elijah Muhammad is basically saying a vegetarian lifestyle, you know, our diet is supposed to be that, because if you're eating beans once a day or you're drinking whole milk and wheat bread, you're a vegetarian. You know what I mean? So he was weaning us off of, the pork, of course, and then slowly but surely we're supposed to wean off meat in general and just get on a vegetarian diet. And, you know, the Caucasian has already tapped into this. He's been studying different groups of people around the world, and they've tested the theory of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's How to Eat to Live book, and they've proven that he's right and exact. So that documentary, if you don't have Netflix, you could probably just stream it online or rent it from a rental place or whatever, but it's called Forks Over Knives. I watched it Sunday night, and it blew me away. And since then, I did the one meal between 4 and 6 of nothing but fruits and veggies, and I swear, within 4 days, I've already lost 14 pounds. So that right there is just bearing witness that if we just submit and break our food addiction, we can pay properly, you know, and I've struggled with it for years. I'm not going to act like, you know, I'm just some sister that has just been on it and, you know, I'm top-notch MGT. I'm striving to become that, but we have to, you know, strengthen our willpower and look at what's going on to cause us stress and anxiety that we have, emotional discomfort that a lot of, especially the sisters. You know, when Master Farah Muhammad said that, you know, he left the warning to us that to not let him catch us weighing other than ourselves, he knew what kind of distress that the black woman would be in. And a big majority of us do refuge in food. Like, we really do that, MGT and Lost Found. So it's like we have to get to the underlying issues of why we continue to abuse food, because, you know, a person that's addicted to food is just like a person that's addicted to crack or weed or anything else, because you're using it as an escape. You're using it as something to comfort yourself. So you have to change the way you think and look at food, and the best thing to do is to educate yourself on what happens to your body when you consume processed foods and meat. Like, these scientists were on there saying, like, your body has to go through a chemical reaction to break down anything that you put into it. And when you put in a carcass, like a human being or an animal, once it dies, it releases enzymes to break itself down so it'll start decomposing and rigor mortis sets in. So when you're eating animal flesh, you're actually eating flesh and enzymes that bring about death. So that right there within itself is causing you to die a whole lot quicker than what you need to. So even though the food might taste good, the chicken and beef and stuff, it tastes good, but when you look at the chemical compound of it, it's not worth, you know, how it tastes. So I just wanted to put that out there, you know, because we hear it in lectures all the time. We have the How to Eat to Live book, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a very basic man. Like, he gave us a basic instruction, but now scientists are delving so far into it that they're giving more thorough information to exactly what's going on. So if they're able to bear witness and say that the only way that you can... They basically said in the documentary that heart disease, diabetes, and all that, they said that none of the cancer even, they said none of that is genetically predisposed. They said humans were made to be perfect. The only thing that causes those illnesses is what you eat. And that's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. You know, Master Farah Muhammad told him that if we ate the way he told us to eat, that we could throw away every pill in our medicine cabinet. And white people are bearing witness that that is right and exact. So I would encourage everybody to get Forks Over Knives. And then there's another one on Netflix called Food Matters. But both of those two are very educational. So someone out there is listening that's not familiar with How to Eat to Live or may not be interested in it because it's a quote-unquote Muslim book or whatever, you can do that and still get the same information and make a lifestyle change. And that's all I wanted to add to the show, and I thank you all for giving me an opportunity to say what I had to say. And departing from the call, the question I would like to put on the floor would be, what is it about our thinking or our willpower, the reason why so many of us have not stepped up to the plate and actually strived hard to eat one meal a day as prescribed by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. And thank you, Sister Shaka, for calling in with that information, which is, of course, much needed. And to answer your question, I'm going to start it off. I'm going to let Brother Jahar finish it. You know, mere faith without being carried into practice is nothing. So, you know. I'm keeping it real. And, you know, a lot of times, I tell people all the time, you know, no one is being judgmental. No one can really tell you where you are in your Islam faith. Understanding, knowledge, and wisdom comes in degrees. And so some of us will read and, you know, adhere and we will hear and obey, and others actually have to see what is being taught to them. And so a lot of us are just creatures of habit. A lot of us are just disobedient. And so, you know, whatever it's going to take for all of us to say, hey, you know what, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us this, and this is what I'm going to go by, that happens in degrees. Sometimes we have to get sick. Sometimes we have to watch somebody die. You know, sometimes it just takes different strokes for different folks. However, we are at a critical hour, whereas it's not even so much as the food industry. We have to get into another thinking of how we are going to become the owners of our own land and producers of our own foods, because this society, this American society, this Food and Drug Administration is killing us. And we're talking about the game tonight, because the game is, if you think about it, connect the dots, as my minister will always say. You know, if you have a doctor who is paying out of the, who is paying extremely high costs for malpractice insurance and things of that nature, everything in this economy is going up except for income and salaries. And so they make these side deals with the pharmaceutical companies. Well, the pharmaceutical companies couldn't make money if they were not making you sick in the first place, because you wouldn't have a need to come to the doctor if you were not ill. So how do they make you ill, and how do they reach all of you? They reach all of us by food. And so they have these foods that have been genetically altered, and they're killing us. We're running to the doctor. We're getting prescribed medication. The pharmaceutical companies are making money hand over fist, and the doctors are getting paid, and they're just getting paid to kill you, because every time you go to a doctor and he gives you a pill, that's what he's doing. Because Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that if you start a baby off eating bean soup, that baby could live 240 years. And this navy bean is a miraculous food. I mean, it could stop you from, you know, your, it could, you know, prevent your exposure to radiation. It could save your life from radiation, and there's no food or no pill that your doctor can give you that can do that. You know, so, you know, your doctors are not even prescribing the best foods for you to eat. So, you know, we really have to look at the big picture here. You know, your black doctors, your white doctors, your Indian doctors, or whatever, that's all a separate society that are going to look out for themselves first. Now, you have some nutritionists and stuff that really do try to help, but then they don't necessarily have the education. We have the education right here. Like Brother Jahar said, hey, just buy the book. So, Brother Jahan, I'm going to let you jump in on answering Sister Shaka's question about what is it going to take for us to really be obedient to these teachings.
All right, definitely. I appreciate this show and forum and everything about it. I think it is, I just have to reiterate that it is an eye-opener, and we must continue to have these discussions. That's the first thing that it's going to take, you know, continuing to have the discussions and alerting us that, you know, we you know, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that repetition is good. So we must constantly be reminded. But I think what Sister Shaka was saying, there is an important part of it from the aspect of what is it going to take, just going back into the book and then going into my personal experience. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad talks about on page 24 of How to Eat to Live that some weak people think that they cannot eat once every 24 hours, but our stomach looks to our brain for guidance and looks to our brain to be the boss of what it should take in. The stomach does not think for itself. The brain thinks for the stomach. And so ultimately, like you are saying, and Sister Shaka has said as well, and it is about us reorientating our mind. The DVD that the sister talked about, we probably need to reiterate that as well. And it is about us getting information out to our people. Right now, the whole world, the scientific world, the religious world, but in particularly the scientific world and doctors, have begun more than any other time to bear witness to How to Eat to Live by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the truths that are in this book that came from God himself to his Christ. So right now, that DVD and different materials that we can find to show to our people helps in the bearing of witness. It helps us in getting them the How to Eat to Live, you know, because ultimately they're going to need the book. They're going to understand, have to understand that, yes, you know, these different aspects bear witness to that which God was taught to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. from everything to what the sister was saying with the meat, and even the intervals in between food, the eating one meal every 24 hours. The whole world has begun to bear witness to this, and with Allah's permission, we focus on a lot of these different videos and things like that on the How to Eat to Live support group page on Facebook, just to build up the resistance that this is just not us saying this. Now, the truth came from God to his Christ, but they bear witness to this as well. You know, oftentimes, you know, the Negro in us, we have to hear somebody else say that it is right, you know, sometimes before we begin to open our eyes. You know, so right. That aspect is a faith builder, that you understand that your man, you know, who was given this from God himself, and it is being echoed from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that we are right and exact and right on time, so that we need not, you know, go to the Atkins diet or any of these other different, you know, things that we think we see some faith in. But from my own personal experience, I can bear witness to, you know, I came into this at an early age, and so the reality of me coming into this at an early age, how did I then become, you know, unhealthy or overweight, as we are all, a lot of us are all trying to get back to the weight that we are, you know, that we should be at. Well, it is because of, you know, the things that are being put in the foods and our ability, well, I won't say an ability, but our food addiction sometimes, you know, like the sister talked about, you know, whatever, you know, it's hard for some of us to, you know, go to drugs and alcohol and things like that, because if we've never done that, or if we're under this teaching, it's a very grand teaching. It's a very powerful teaching that it's hard for some of us to go that route, and that's beautiful. We shouldn't be going that route. But that does not mean that food is not a drug as well, and whatever, you know, things that might be going on in your life, that you, you know, seek a buffet like a bar, if you will, and you stumble up out of that buffet, you know, like, you know, going to a nice little bar if you was, you know, back in the world, and that's what you did. So, you know, that's the imperative point of seeking to reorientate the mind, and the wake-up call is our health. When I begin to really, really see myself and really begin to look at myself and say, wow, you know, I got to do some things, you know, I have to be here for my children. Ultimately, I want to be here for their children, grandchildren, and the grandchildren's children's children. So, you know, that's not going to happen. It's not going to magically happen, you know, and the solution that we have is How to Eat to Live. So I went back to that, and, you know, I began to, you know, just give myself as a testimony, you know, give myself as a, here, you see me, I'm overweight, you know, I don't have a problem with showing you that, but here is the solution, and I am a representation of the solution from Allah himself to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So that's my take on it.
Yes, sir, and thank you for that. And, you know, Brother Vernon, we have a special guest in the house tonight. Brother DJ Black Caesar is on the phone out there somewhere. DJ Black Caesar, come in and give us the greeting. What's going on?
As-salamu alaykum, sisters and brothers.
I'm
going to tell you right now, the sister was on top of it. I like what she said. Basically, she just turned my stomach away from meat. So I'm letting you guys know, she just made me sick with that. That was really ridiculous. I know we're eating flesh. I knew we're eating flesh, but I didn't know. You know, I never thought about that we're harming the body. And I'm a bodybuilder. At least I was like 3 years ago. And I used to take care of myself. I used to eat right, whatever. I used to eat wheats, barley, stuff like that, sunflower seeds, rice, beans, like you say, the bean soup. That was really my first time trying bean soup was this year, though. And it's excellent the way I make it is. But I want to say one thing. I tried the bean pads and all this stuff. I've been basically trying you guys' diet, and I'm going to say that it is good. It does help with your body. I know it does because, like she said, she lost 14 pounds in 4 days, and I think I lost like 10 pounds in 3 days when I tried the diet. And basically she's right. And I think the sister is really on top of it, and I think everybody should watch that video she's talking about. Forks over spoons?
Forks over knives.
Forks over knives, yeah. That's good stuff right there. So she's basically just turned me away from eating meat tonight. I'm not messing with meat no more. I want to apologize to everybody on the phone, too, because Brother Vernon, this is not his night. This is actually my night while I engineer. But Brother Vernon, I thank you guys for taking care of me, man. And Gidget, you know, I'm sorry for letting you guys down, man. But I was at the studio.
You
and
let us down?
Yeah, okay, that's cool. Thank you, Sister Gidget.
No, we all family. That's what we do. We help out one another. So now you owe Brother Vernon one.
I get you, Brother Vernon.
It's a family affair.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And DJ Blackfeet, I want you to know that you and Brother Jihad, y'all have a common friend. I think he's interviewed Rick Ross a few times, and I know he's a personal friend of yours. So, in case you didn't hear the beginning of the show, he has a hip hop mentoring group that he does, and he's interviewed Rick Ross also.
Okay. Now,
so,
who is that?
Maybe you can. His name is Brother Jihad. He's on the phone.
Okay, Brother Jihad, how you doing, brother?
Hey, how you doing, my brother? Good to hear from you, man. I'm feeling your spirit, man. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. I'm spilling out you guys too, man. Most definitely.
Yeah, so maybe we need to get you guys together because Brother DJ Black Caesar does a hip hop show on Wednesday. He has a lot of new artists, and I know Brother Jihad does too. So maybe we can get you all guys together sometime and y'all can chop it up. And I'd love to come on that show and see what's going on.
Yes, ma'am. Definitely. We
got to
make it happen.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you, DJ Black Caesar. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. Okay, you know, we're gonna move on. We're gonna see if we have any questions, and then we're gonna move on because I wanna go over what we actually ate when we were in Africa. So, are there any questions, Brother Vernon, in the chat or online?
We're going to try one more time. The caller from area code 507. Your microphone is open and live. Identify yourself and welcome to Nation Building Radio. Walaikum salam.
Walaikum salam, sir. Who is this calling in?
Salam alaikum, Sister Gidget and Brother Vernon and Brother Jihad and all the brothers and sisters out there.
Walaikum salam.
Radio Talk Land.
Who is this?
This is Brother Mustafa calling from Minnesota. Calling from Rochester.
That was
Minnesota.
You? Assalamu alaikum.
To the panel, to the great speakers, brothers and sisters, Brother Jihad, everybody out there. I just wanted to comment on some of the statements that I heard tonight. You were saying, speaking about there, you was quoting some stuff from a brother, I believe you were saying was a doctor from Africa, and I was wondering, were you making reference to Dr. Leia Lala Africa?
I think so. I think that's his name. I can't remember because I looked at about three or four videos. And I think one of those videos is one that you actually sent to me. But I can't remember the name. You know, you're supposed to get old.
Well, we all are aging, and hopefully, inshallah, as we age, we'll be aging with grace and with great health. That is some books that I also posted on Brother Jihad's website. On Facebook, success with the How to Eat to Live.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And assalamu alaikum, brother. And
alaikum. Good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so I wanted to comment because Sister Gidget had made an excellent point in talking about how the scientists of evil, how they are genetically modifying not only pork and chicken and beef, you know, they're putting a lot of agents in other foods that people of color and people who live in poor communities are buying because they think that they're getting a better deal by buying all of this cheap food. And I was just reading an article that one of the staff writers for The Final Call, and a lot of you probably know him, Brother Brian Muhammad, who is also on Facebook. He just reposted this article here that was originally posted, I want to say December, here it is, December 8th, 2010. It was You Are What You Eat and What You Grow. And in this article, it was talking about how people in the black community, we are more or less likely to have access to fresh grown fruits and vegetables, and especially organic. You know, even when you go to your local grocery stores, a lot of people will tell you in a minute that, well, I eat fresh fruit and I eat fresh vegetables, but these fruits and vegetables that they're buying, if you look at the sticker that's on the fruit, if it the fruits and vegetables, if it starts with a 4, then it's just traditional chemical or either genetically modified fruits and vegetables. If that fruit or vegetable starts with a 9, it's organic. And so the thinking overall is that if I can go to McDonald's or Burger King or KFC and get something for a dollar or two, then, you know, just something to eat, I'm going to be okay. But people don't know the science behind the chemicals that they're putting in the food. One of the chemicals that they put in the food turns off the neural receptors in the brain that tells the body that it's full. So then you can eat, and then a half hour later, you're hungry again. And so this creates an epidemic within the community, just the lack of knowledge. But thank God, I thank Allah for technology, the technology of Facebook and Twitter. You know, we're able to reach more people, like with this radio blog technology here, to be on the phone and the internet and being able to communicate and talk with whoever is willing to listen. And I just think that this is a beautiful effort being made to help the people who want to be helped, because we all know that, you know, it's just some of our people that's just not ready. You know, I've talked to people about Islam, and I've had people to tell me that if they, you know, if they had to give up pork, they're just not going to do it. You know, so it's just some people who are not going to do it no matter what, and we just have to accept that. But there are other people who will do it, but it's you know, going from eating wrong for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and then trying to make a complete 180 or 360 is just, you know, it's going to take time. So we have to be patient with those type of people and, you know, the type of things that Brother Jihad is doing. And then there's another brother I know that and sister that was very instrumental in getting me to start growing organic and started my organic garden. Actually, they encouraged me. I started growing my garden inside my apartment. The Brother Dennis Muhammad out of, I think he's out of Cleveland, Ohio, I want to say, and then Sister Janet Muhammad. There's a lot of feedback on the radio I'm hearing, on the phone here. But those brothers and sisters who started on Facebook with encouraging me to do the apartment. I started my first garden inside my apartment using 5-gallon buckets and using boxes. And so, you know, if people want to start growing their own little gardens, they can do that right in their own apartments or their own houses. So I'm going to take my comment and my statement off the air, and thank you.
We thank you, brother. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir, and thank you, Brother Mustafa, for calling in. And he's always so informative, and he's really given me some good ideas and some solutions to my constant coughing that I have going on. So thank you, Brother Mustafa, for your comment. And he's a real advocate for natural foods, and even though I don't agree with juicing, he is a juice master. So thank you, sir. And we're going to get back to this, because I said that the topic of this show was the focus of the health of the black man. Brother Jihad, what's going on with brothers now? Why y'all won't go to the doctor?
Well, ultimately, I think it's about each one teaching one, and us as black men, we have to be that, each one teaching one, that in action, if you will, and it starts with, information, with prostate cancer, whether it's, with that or just in general. Going to the doctor has to be looked at as, given to brothers, like the understanding of making sure your vehicle is clean and detailed, or your oil is changed and things like that. We take care of our vehicles, and we understand that, but we have to take care of our bodies the same, So I think it's a each one teach one situation, with our brothers, if you will, and making it happen. We have a uphill road, but I think, with all the knowledge that is out here and all the knowledge that we have been given, solution-wise, I think that, we will make it happen.
Yes, sir. And, I'm going to get back to a couple of things. I'm going to get back to the Food and Drug Administration, and I'm going to get back to this pig, because I want us to be aware of something that's going on, people.
Get back to it then.
When you don't feed a pig becomes irate, and a pig has no boundaries. That means he'll eat anything. He'll eat you, alive and kicking. Rabbi Elijah Muhammad teaches us that even a rattlesnake can bite it. A poisonous snake can bite it, and it won't die. It'll eat it, And when I talked earlier about the characteristics that we take on after consuming pig, not only does it destroy your beauty, but it also affects your psyche, and it becomes a part of your personal makeup. In other words, how you react. I did not know that eating hog will make you irritable, that eating hog would make you violent, that eating hog would make you irrational, that eating hog would make you want to dispute everything. So really it's a poisoning of the mind. And in the creation of this animal, the animal was used for medicinal purposes. Now, from what I understand, being a granddaughter with a grandfather from Kenya, the pigs were used for sanitation purposes back in those days, 200 years ago or whatever. The pig would eat what would be waste, whether it was human waste or whether it was just trash waste, what they call the rubbish that you take off of food that you won't eat and things of that nature. The pig was given that, and he would eat that. So, all of these toxins that are naturally released from our body, the pig will actually consume. And if we turn around and eat it, then, we're full of that too. And so what I'm saying to you is that the medical society in America, in particularly, has not really put emphasis on eating or not eating pork because of the benefits that it has, especially in our community. Now, what they did not foresee is the cost that it would have, you know, and the impact it would have on American taxpayers, because what they thought they would do, they would bring all of this unnutritional food into our communities, keep us running to the doctor, keep us buying medication. Then when we get so sick and we can't work and we're not really beneficial to the economy, then they offer us Medicaid and Medicare and, you know, whatever, free clinical health or whatever it is, and the taxpayers are paying out of the pocket, and so now that's why it's so hard to get insurance. It's so hard for them to even want to agree with any kind of policy as it relates to medical insurance, because they know what they have done. And they know the results of it now. And it seems like everybody else knows except for us. And so black men in particular, who are the leaders of our community, are going to have to take a stand and really start developing, I don't care if it's a flower bed, I don't care if it's a patio flower bed where you go buy a wooden trough and start growing your own foods, because it seems like when men take the leadership, you know, women will follow. And hey, that's just real talk. We love brothers. You know, that's just real. And it's very important, because listen, people, they're already killing us. They're already incarcerating us. They've already corrupted our diet. We have babies coming up, and these foods that they are feeding our children in public schools, the foods that you're taking them to go to Chuck E. Cheese, McDonald's, Jack in the Box, Popeyes, wherever you're taking them, foods are killing our children. And you wonder why they have so many children on Ritalin nowadays. You wonder why every other child is in special education. Our children are not illiterate. Our children are not dumb. You know, this is all diet controlled, and we have to get back to taking the responsibility for ourselves. We have to stop looking for these people to take care of us and give us the best of foods. And you going in the grocery store, and they got a package of something that says organic. It's not organic. It's not organic. You can look at it and tell it's not organic. It looks the same as the other commercial food. So what makes you think it's organic? It's not clean. Organic food has a gloss to it. It has a natural, pleasant taste. It's not a bitter taste. That bitter taste that you taste on greens and spinach, that is pesticide. That is wax that they use to preserve the color of the food. It's not natural. So we need to go back to the farms and buy your food. Go, I'm pretty sure there are some farms in some communities that would not mind shipping you food or whatever. The food is so much cheaper. I can go right down the street from where I live, spend $10 and have enough vegetables to last me 2 weeks. Because I get my food directly out of the ground from the organic farm. And we have to start doing this for ourselves, because they are killing our people in more ways than one. And everybody thinks, you know, well, you know, society, we have these laws in place and that law in place. They're not protecting you. And we have to get real about this, but people just don't seem to realize that. And our black men in particularly, let me tell you something. If you don't think you're the target, you better wake up, because you are the target. Just like I was talking about this pig, how it makes you irrational, how it makes you dispute with everything, how it makes you irritable with all of the other stressors that the black man already has on his shoulders, consuming this pig will make your reaction much worse, which oftentimes puts you in a position where you end up incarcerated or at the other end of somebody's bullet. Nobody is willing to connect the dots. And I don't understand that. So, Brother Jihad, you know, talk to the the brothers for me. You know, I'm just a sister over here getting
hyped up. I think you're doing a great job. Your passion is felt. You know, hey, you're going in. I mean, it's about the truth and the passion of what you're saying. You know, but ultimately, we have to understand, you know, it's just like every other aspect, you know, knowledge is power. We have to educate on any occasion that we can on, you know, whether it deals with the swine, whether it deals with all the aspects, the GMOs, you know, the genetically modified food and the need for us to come together and you know, begin to produce our own food. Ultimately, you know, as well, the need for us to become healthier. You know, we have to be constantly looking at ways to do this, you know, to promote and market this to our men and to our people. And with shows like this is a great way to start. You know, a lot of us, you know, who are on Facebook and who have websites and who are promoting, and those are great ways to start. The technical, that we are in a technical era, if you will, right now that we live in, a technical advanced era that we can really use technology for the benefit of uplifting our people and giving them the knowledge that is needed, you know. And so it has to be done with that fervor. So, you know, just to echo your passion, sister, you know, that's what it is, and that's what we have to do. You know, some of the ones that are out there, you know, you can go to Success Stories and How to Eat to Live on Facebook. That is our Facebook group, if you will, for How to Eat to Live, for, you know, people that are, you know, you might be having trouble with How to Eat to Live. You might have a success story. You might, you know, we're here. We're support, you know, for you. We have to support each other in this time. It is imperative, you know, that we go back to this, that which gives us life. And, you know, arm each other, like the way Sister Shaka came in with the information and Brother Mustafa came in with the information. We have to arm each other. So, you know, it's about arming our people. I would begin to meet people that I have never even met before online, and says, you know, that would say, you know, oh, the, you know, when I seen, you know, how the worms looked and this, that, and other, you know, it really, you know, grossed me out. Those are the things that we need to be shocked right now. We need a shock therapy, you know, so that we can understand the condition we're in. So, you know, that's where, you know, I'm at with it.
Yes, sir, and thank you for that. And, you know, I just want to give people an idea of what the Africans ate mostly before being enslaved. Our basic foods in Africa prior to slavery consisted of, and when I'm talking about the area of Central Africa, because the cultures change depending on where you are, but the basic foods were foods from plants. I don't know what a cassava is, but that a cassava, and that's a C-A-S-S-A-V-A, plantains. They ate a lot of fufu, which is a starchy product that we probably could compare to rice or potatoes. They ate spinach, tomatoes, peppers, chives, onions. This cassava plant evidently is substituted like what we would consider greens or something like that. They ate a lot of okra. They ate a lot of things that were seasoned with ginger. Oh, excuse me. I was trying not to sneeze. Oh, excuse me. And they ate something called bambara, which is something like a rice dish. But, you know, these are the natural foods that we as a people ate. And, you know, when we talk about culture and culture differences, we are the most deprived people of our culture. We have no idea. And for those people who are, you know, maybe followers of Marcus Garvey or some other kind of Back to Africa movement, you really would have to really adjust your diet to go back to Africa, because the one thing about African culture is that they thrive heavily on tradition. Not to say that they don't eat pork in Africa. Of course they do. But in most tribes, of Africa, and in most villages of Africa, they are very, very traditional people. They eat a lot of fish, you know, and so we would really have to do a complete 360 on our diet compared to what they're eating in Africa even today versus what we're eating. And, you know, that's just to give us some idea of how the wickedness of slavery has transformed us. Now, I'm going to get into relationships a little bit.
There is a another caller that's in the queue.
Sure.
We got a caller from the 816 area code. Your microphone is on. Please identify yourself.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam, queen. Who's calling?
This is Sister Stephanie of Kansas City. I just had a few comments that I'd like to make, getting feedback on what you all have shared so far, if that's okay.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
My first comment is based on something that Brother Jihad had shared earlier with regards to how we will, or some things that we will refrain from as far as believers. We wouldn't turn to drugs. We wouldn't turn to alcohol because those things are against the law, and so food is something that we may turn to as opposed to those things. And it made me think about the restrictive laws is our success, the book that the minister recently gave to the believers. And in there he shared on page 63 that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that one day the eating one meal a day would be against the restrictive law. And so at this time we have mercy and time to try to get ourselves together, because at one point in time we won't be able to turn to food either to relieve ourselves of those things that we might turn to drugs or alcohol. The other thing that came to mind when you were speaking, Sister, on the foods that our children are eating in the schools and whatnot, and what that made me think about is the impact of mothers in the home and what we feed our families.
Come on.
And how the messenger taught that we are the nurses, you know, we are the ones that are responsible for the health of our family. And
that's right.
The traditions of Africa, then, you know, all of that tied in for me as far as what kind of traditions we are setting for in our homes, for the type of foods that we eat and how that can impact how our whole family, but particularly our others, you know, what they decide to consume as they get older, who's setting the right type of examples and giving them the right type of food as they grow up. And then the third thing and the last thing that came to mind, I was thinking about visual presentation, and then Brother Jihad brought up the worms and the shock therapy and what we need to see. And I remember Brother Ishmael once when he was in Kansas City spoke to us about how the devil has mastered presentation and making things look good and things, you know, of that nature, and how that impacts, you know, our food. We need to see the ugly images, because the devil makes everything fair seeming. He makes everything look so good.
That's right.
So those are the only comments I wanted to make. I think this is a beautiful forum. Thank you. I'm honored to have been invited to come on, and thank you for listening. Thank you.
And thank you,
thank you, my dear sister.
Yes, sir. And, you know, they say that, you know, the kitchen is the medicine cabinet, you know. It keeps you away from the doctor. And you know, the sister, you know, she was right on time, because I was going to talk about relationships. And I did a brief, very brief study of the health of men who are single versus the health of men who are married. In the black community, they say that 46% of single men have severe health issues related to diet. 46% of single black men have serious health conditions related to diet. So that means that, you know, the brothers are not really cooking. The brothers are stopping off at fast food restaurants, eating whatever they can get their hands on. So, Brother Jahad, I'm going to ask you, do you think that being married to a, and not just being married, but being married to someone who is conscious about diet, would this be something that you would encourage our brothers to do for better health?
Definitely. Definitely. I appreciate that question. It is a timely question. And when you look at the statistics that you talk about, you know, there are some brothers that are cooking out there, but the mass majority of brothers are not, you know, and from a single perspective, you know, brothers, you know, when we look at generally our people, you know, they are going to the fast food, you know, and generally those who are under this teaching as well, you know, may not be the fast food as much, but it's definitely at a restaurant of some sort. But ultimately, to get to the root of your question, yes, not just a woman who is health conscious per se, but, you know, for us who follow the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who follow him and are under the leadership of the Honorable Mr. Farrakhan, you know, it is imperative that, you know, and you are really not whole until you have a sister who is MGT who has been trained, you know, to understand the science of these foods and, you know, disseminate them back to you in the form of a well-made meal, if you will, you know, the bean soup and et cetera, the whole wheat bread and everything that goes along with this teaching. So, you know, it will make us healthier. There's no doubt about it because, you know, to be married, you know, and ultimately being married to MGT is what's going to make, you know, us understand and us become healthier. You know, it's just a fact. There's no in between about it. So those are just the straight words in regards to it, my sister.
Sister
yes,
Andy,
sir.
One more caller in the queue.
Okay, yes, sir. Let's take that call.
All righty, call it from the
city. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wow. Assalamu alaikum, I should have known that was you bringing the noise. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Rakim. This is our founder and CEO of Nation Building. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine, sister. I'm actually calling not to ask a question, not to even make a comment other than I am very, very, very happy to be able to listen to a show that we have, that we founded, Nation Building. And if it wasn't for you, Sister Gidget, this would not be possible, not at all. I want everybody to know that Sister Gidget is the brain power. She's the fire starter, the firepower behind Nation Building Radio. And I'm very proud of this sister because this sister has she's like my black superwoman when it comes to Nation Building Radio. This sister stays up like a vampire. Doing research.
Thank you, Brother Rakim.
Yes, ma'am. So I didn't want to say anything other than that. I just want to let y'all know that I'm on the show. I'm listening.
Okay, well, you bringing all that feedback with you. Where are you?
I don't think you hear me, sister. I don't know what that noise is.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you for joining us tonight.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, who's that? Brother Vernon on behind the board?
Yeah, that's Brother Vernon tonight.
Yes, he didn't know my number. That's what that is. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam, good brother. I got to start remembering 601.
Yes, sir, brother. I'm proud to have you aboard, brother. You're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you, brother. Good to be here.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're going to get back to our topic now. You know, brothers, you know, I know sometimes that it may be difficult to get in the kitchen and prepare a meal. And so you have some options. Now you can stop playing hardball and go on and get married. Really, really learn how to cook. And you know, sisters, as sisters, and I don't mean as significant other, sisters of interest, courtship mates, I don't mean that. I mean sisters, you know, we have a duty to keep our nation strong and to keep our nation healthy. If you know some single brothers, you know, it's not going to take too much time out of your week to cook up a big pot of bean soup and just give some to the brothers so that they don't have to eat out all the time. You know, this is what we're supposed to be doing for one another. We're supposed to take care of one another. You know, cook some brothers some bean soup, make them a salad, you know, give it to them, teach them how to make it, whatever you have to do, nation healthy. It is vital that we take care of one another, and we don't have to be in courtship, and we don't have to be married, love one another and care for one another. And so that's just something I want to put out there for the brothers, you know, and also for the MGT, because as brothers and sisters first, we do have that obligation to one another. So, Brother Jahan, is there anything you want to add
yes, ma'am.
To that, Eric?
No, I think that I think that was straight and potent to the point. I think yeah. So let's keep it going. Maybe we got some other you know, questions out there. Somebody we can help out.
Well, you know what I wanted to do, Brother Jahan, I wanted to ask you because I'm not, you know, I wasn't gonna forget this, of course. Brother Jahan, you personally have lost, the last I recall, you lost 90 pounds eating, following the instructions on how to eat to live. So why don't you tell us, you know, what led you to that point and, you know, what did it take for you to begin?
Yes, ma'am, definitely. Right now, currently, what a lost permission and following how to live. I'm at the 100-pound mark. So
oh,
I'm at the 100-pound mark. I've been supposed to be at the 100-pound mark. And you know, and moving forward, only what a lost permission. Ultimately, the honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is been reminding us in general over the years, and particularly right now, on how we have to get our health in order, you know, with this How to Live and with, you know, how it is unrepresentative of us, you know, as Muslims who, you know, are really the light of our community. When the people see us as brothers, you know, they always refer to the FOI as a slender and shining example, you know. And so, you know, that's something that, you know, a brother wants to represent, you know. And opposites attract. When our people see that, you know, they are attracted when they see the shining face that's you know, you know, eating right, and as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us on how to eat to live, thinking right as well is mostly as important when it comes to this as well. So just reflection, my reflection personally with food addiction and the things that are in food and not in seeking, you know, some kind of refuge, if you will, in food, you know, whether it was blatant, you know, of course it never starts off that way, but, you know, you ultimately look up and you see that, you know, you are other than yourself. And when you do that, you know, and look at your health and how you are feeling as well, your energy and you know, and different things, then you begin to say, wow, you know, and definitely those with, you know, with children as well, you know that you have to be there for them. So, it's a point that made me go back to that which we have been taught, and constantly looking at the example of the Honorable Ms. Louis Farrakhan, that's what we needed to do, and that's what I found myself doing. And I found myself going back to the book and beginning to engulf myself in the book and engulf myself in everything how they live, to build up my immunity, if you will, to all of the other things that were not of this book, and, you know, a lot of the food addictions. What we don't understand with the chemicals that are in the foods, it is just like, you know, drugs. It is drugs, you know. You know, with some of the foods, if it's fast food or you know, the restaurant, you know, it's calling you when you are away from it. So you have to break the resistance of that. The only way to do it is, you know, to begin to fast and begin to go back to how to eat to live. The ultimate aspect of it is to, you know, eat one meal every 24 hours, you know, and go up from there. Of course, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad details it in book one and two, as I can reiterate, only for $5, you know. It's not a program that's going to take a lot of money. You know, it's not a gastric bypass. It's not a, you know, Jenny Craig. You know, a lot of the sisters might see, you know, Jennifer Hudson and see the weight that she's lost and things of that nature. And, you know, but as my sister Stephanie talked about from Kansas City, it is about a visual presentation. Our people are a visual people. So, you know, if they see a before and after, then they can say, oh, this works. You know, we are after what works. And being, you know, that we are as obese as we are, you know, it is a beautiful way to market that which God has given the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yes, sir. So on a daily basis, because you lost 100 pounds over what period of time?
It's been a little over a year, a little over a year. July 4th. Of 2011, so yeah, it's been over a year, and right now I stand at that 100-pound mark, and, you know, inshallah, beginning I want to move forward more and more, you know, so yeah, but daily, it just started off with just getting back to the book, as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, you know, if you're eating three meals a day, go back to two. Or go to two, and then from there to the one meal a day. The fasting is definitely important as well, because it is going to help to break a lot of the chemicals that are in your bloodstream, as much as we can take the toxins out, you know, getting it to that point, you know. So those are the important starter factors of this.
Yes, sir. And so in your fasting, are you fasting just completely? Are you drinking lemon water while you're fasting? What are you doing?
Yeah, yes, ma'am, definitely. Now, the lemon water and honey is a way for prolonged fast that can help, you know, break down the toxins. It is a brother that's on the How to Eat to Live support group, brother by the name, that does NeuroCleanse. It's called NeuroCleanse, and he can really go into that in-depthly. Perhaps that could be like another show where he really delves into that. But suffice it to say, the fast or whole fast, you know, when you do that 72-hour fast, it is a whole fast. It is a breaking down of the toxins wholly and you know, going into it like that. So that's just water. Water and coffee.
Mhm. Okay. Okay, I'm just taking notes because, you know, I don't know what I've done to my system personally. I just find myself, I can't eat anymore like I used to. And I started this vegetarian diet in January, and I've lost I thought I lost 60 pounds, but I think I lost like 67 pounds so far. And when I started eating like every 3 days, and I don't know what happened, but every time I eat on the fourth day, I try to eat, I'm getting, you know, like I don't want to eat. I just, you know, my diet and my desire is just gone. So, I was trying to find an appetite stimulant, because I don't know if it's just me. I don't know if the other people have experienced that, so I'm asking you, because it's a different fast from when you do Ramadan, because, you know, you don't eat during daylight hours and you eat during the night, but when you're doing a complete fast, I don't know, every time I do it, when I go to eat on the fourth day or now the fifth day, sometimes I just can't tolerate the food. It's like I take one or two bites and I'm like, oh, okay. You know, so, I mean, what's going on with that? Maybe you could help me out. What's going on with that?
Yes, ma'am. I don't have that problem myself, but what I would do, it sounds to me that from the fasting, you're eliminating some toxins, you know, as we, not only the toxin set up, but sometimes we do have, you know, parasites and things like that to set up as well. And I would really relate back to my brother that does the newer cleanse on that. He really has a real good program that deals with that. But, well, nevertheless, what might be happening is just the toxins that are in the food, you're eliminating them, and now your appetite is gone. What I would do is, just like what we are taught, I would go back. Well, not to say not go back, because I'm sure you're doing it. But what are you eating on the days where you take the couple of bites? Because that could be the important practice.
I'm on this raw veggie kick, so I eat radishes and carrots and spinach and tomato and strawberries. And at first, I could eat a good healthy salad with a little vinaigrette dressing, you know, with those ingredients. And so I started subtracting the ingredients. Instead of all of those, I would just do spinach and tomato and cucumber and just eating it raw. And I can't even tolerate that. So, I mean.
All right. That's probably probably part of the issue. Most honorable Elijah Muhammad talks about the, of course, the bean soup. What I would do is go back to the bean soup and kind of stray away from those things and go back to the bean soup on that day you eat. Of course, I know you're a sister who, you know, probably going in, got the cooking skills on lock, and I bet the bean soup is off the chain. So make that off the chain bean soup and get that off the chain bean soup ready with some rolls or something and just go in. And I would almost guarantee you that, you know, as soon as you start in on that bean soup and, you know, sopping them up with the little roll and let a little bit of it drip back in there, sop it, and you know how we do, you know, the black experience, if you will, and you should be good.
Yeah, I've gotten away from because I often cook it in large quantities, and so being an empty nester now and being single, of course, I hate to cook a big old pot of bean soup just for me and freeze it and keep, you know, thawing it out. But I might have to try that. I might have to
get
Brother Vernon to fly me some in, since Brother Vernon, who's our engineer tonight, thinks that, you know, he has the bean soup on lock.
Well, you know, us brothers, sometimes, you know, since we... he's saying the best thing. And you know, us brothers sometimes, you know, we, you know, some of us got a little, you know, a little bean soup skills, you know. I mean, that's all I'm going to say. But, I mean, you know, not to negate the black woman and her skills, you know, but we talking about the black man tonight. Let's reflect on some of the black men who cook. And Brother Vernon seems to be one of those brothers, so.
Yeah, right. It remains to be seen.
So, but that's what I would do. The bean soup, yes, ma'am, the bean soup is imperative. I mean, daily. I mean, or whenever you are eating, it's imperative. And I would almost guarantee that you would be good.
Okay. Yes, sir. I'll try to revert back to that. Brother Vernon, did you have something you wanted to share with us? Brother Vernon?
Actually, sister, you know what, through the course of this conversation, the thought kept popping into my mind about how important it is for brothers in general, since we talk about constantly training and conditioning ourselves to meet and overcome all obstacles in our path. I mean, we sometimes we look at that in one way, but just to take care of yourself, being able to cook for yourself, being able to at least give yourself the things that are good for you and keep the things that aren't good for you out of your system, that's a survival skill. And even at the most basic, simplistic level, every brother should at least know how to survive, how to eat, to live, if you had to. It's imperative for single brothers, but even the brothers who have a sister in the home and a family, and you know that that's on lock and is taken care of. Occasionally, you want to, you know, do something nice for your family. So just bone up on skills. Ain't nothing, nobody said God can't learn how to cook. Where do you think that came
from?
Come
on, come on now.
All right, you're teaching hard. Okay, Brother Brownie. Yes, sir. All right, well, I'll find out. I'm gonna test your bean soup. You gonna air mail me some, brother? What you gonna do?
I'm just saying. I don't know if you're ready to handle it, but you know, I'll get you some.
Yes, sir. Okay. Do we have any callers, Brother Brownie?
Nope, the lines are starting to quiet down. We got about 5 minutes left to the show.
Okay. So, Brother Jahad, going forward, what is the goal? I mean, because I know that you have the Facebook page. It's called the Success Stories of How to Eat to Live. Is that the correct title?
Yes, ma'am. Success Stories and How to Eat to Live, offhand. That sounds correct. Yes, ma'am. The How to Eat to Live group. So, yes, ma'am. And you said, and going forward, what was the rest of your question?
Yeah, and going forward, so how much weight do you plan to lose? Because you're looking pretty slim to me.
Well, praise be to Allah. Ultimately, and just attempting to be an example, I want to, you know, get back to a point where when I first walked in the door and met the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So I'm not totally to that point yet, but that's the goal. I want to be able to look at a picture when I first came in and look at it now and say, this is what Muhammad has done, you know. You can turn back the hands of time with this teaching, you know, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us, you know, it's life more abundantly. And you can turn back the hands of time. You can look as if you have been swimming in a fountain of youth. And ultimately, I want to, you know, be that example of what not to do and what to do. And the example is all in the solution that has come from God to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and is being taught to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, sir, and that man looks amazing to be 79 years of age. I mean,
yes,
all I can say is wow when I see him. Every time I see him, it's just wow. You know, who would have thought? And so what is it that you really plan to do with your experience, Brother Jahad? Because, you know, we have so many people in our society who may not be believers, but just in our communities and the fact that they are still our people, is there anything that you're doing or anything we can help you do to really promote How to Eat to Live?
That's a beautiful question. Ultimately, in starting the group on Facebook, I wanted it to be an environment that people can come and get a solution, get the solution from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, from what's being taught in the book. And myself, it's another brother, Brother David, who is losing some weight as well. I think he's lost about 50 pounds. And you got Sister Michelle up there in Buffalo. She has been a representative as well as far as losing some weight. With the, you know, we all have to give our testimony to what he has done for us. And that's ultimately where I'm at, you know, giving my testimony to the world, you know, whatever I can do to, you know, help and be a support to any believer and getting back on this track, as the minister has told us that he wants us to get back on this track of how to live, and ultimately, the, you know, just anybody in the world. I mean, there are a lot of people, well, I won't say a lot, but there are some people, you know, that are on in the group that are, you know, not believers. There are a number of people that are, you know, not even, you know, black people, some Caucasians, you know. It's just a vast array that has seen the solution from God to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And that's what, you know, I want to continue to represent, you know, that through the group and in general. I have been getting some calls of, you know, believers that have been asking, you know, for help and by ways of me telling my story. And ultimately, I just want to be a servant, you know, that you can turn it around and we can be healthy, you know, and this is the solution. That's my take.
All right. All right, Sister Gidry, we're down to our last minute.
Okay. Well, Brother Jihad, I just want to tell you once again, we are so honored to have had you on tonight to share your story. And I pray that we have encouraged others to just really be proactive in taking charge of our health and our baby's health, because really their lives are in our hands. And I just want to thank you, brother, for coming on.
Thank you all.
Yes, sir. And, you know, I just want to tell our audience, you know, please continue to support us and join us every week. This Sunday, Brother Vernon, what we have coming up?
This Sunday, in our last 10 seconds, let's see, this Sunday, this Sunday's show is going to be about exiting, having the courage to leave the plantation the right way. On the
okay,
No Romance Without Finance show.
Okay, and then, of course, that's at 6:30 p.m. Central Time, 7:30 Eastern Time on Sunday afternoon. And on Tuesday, join us for Out on the Front Line with the Fruit of Islam with Brother Jihad Muhammad out of Atlanta. And on Wednesday, join us for DJ Black Caesar's show. And on Thursday, I will be back next week. The topic will be the FOI, Speak from the Heart to the MGT. So, we have State Mississippi Minister Abram Muhammad and Brother James Muhammad out of Florida. So please join us. Okay, well, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Brother Vernon, for jumping in there and always being there. Thank you again, Brother Jihad. Please do not
thank
miss
you all.
It
I
your
appreciate
last time. We have to have you back again. We do a part two, so please come back and join us.
Yes,
and I leave you all as I came in peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love.
Wa alaikum salam.
Alaikum salam.